السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن ربكم حي قريب يستحي من عبد إذا رفع يديه أن يردهما صفرا، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. In this verse of the Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His promise that you must make dua to me and O Rasul of Allah, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when my servants ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, they are asking, أَيْنَ اللَّهِ, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So tell them, I am very close to them, I am very near to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي, and I always respond and accept the supplication of a person who asks and begs to me, whenever he asks and begs to me. فَلْيَسْتِجِيبُ لِي, you must tell them, those who are oppressed or those who are vulnerable, those who are in need of my help and assistance, tell them, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, they must obey me. That's the condition. They must obey me. Well, you may know be, and they must only believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so they can reach the success. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that verily your Lord, Rabbakum, your sustainer, is very kind. يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ, he feels shy. When any servant of his raises his hands, and yaruddahuma sifran, that he must return his hands back empty-handed. And he is so generous, he is so kind, he is so merciful, that whoever raises hands towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with ikhlas, definitely Allah is going to respond and Allah is going to grant him whatever he needs. That is the promise of Allah. Allah feels shy that someone asking me and I don't give, reject him. Now the question arises, my brothers and sisters, we all going through every single day so many problems, hardships, difficulties, you know, financial difficulties, marital difficulties, social difficulties, problems. We all are facing. And seems like our dua is not getting accepted. We are not getting the result or response of our dua. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in the Holy Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that whenever any servant raises his hands, Allah is going to respond and grant him. So where is the problem? The problem is there are certain conditions. There are certain rules and regulations. Like in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in this riwayat in Muslim Sharif, that rajulun yutilu safar ash'atha aghbara yamuddu yadayhi ila as-sama ya rab ya rab wa mat'amuhu haramun wa mashrabuhu haramun wa malbasuhu haramun wa ghudhiya bil haram fanna yustajabu li dhalik aw kama qala. The person is coming from the long distance. His hair is shuffled. His dress is, you know, full of dust. And in that condition, in that pathetic condition, in that vulnerable situation, he is raising his hands and is crying, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, O Allah, O Allah. But at the same time, his food is haram, his drink is haram, the dress and clothes he wore is haram, and he was fed with the haram food. فَأَنَّا رُشْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ How Allah is going to respond that kind of person who is not taking care of halal and haram? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned and commanded all the Anbiya alayhi salam, Ya أَيُّ رُسُولُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا And this command for the Rasul, those people selected, chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who came in this world to guide the Ummah, to guide the nation. And 24/7 they are under the observation and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Personally, they don't do anything wrong. They don't commit any sin. They are protected servants of Allah. Rusul, messengers. How you can imagine a Rasul of Allah can get involved in haram things, eating haram, drinking haram? No way. Right? So, Allah is commanding them, although Allah knows they are innocent. They are masoom. Why Allah commanding them? To give us the lesson. That our prophets are masoom, they are protected. They're not going to eat haram food, they're not going to wear haram libas, they're not going to commit any sin. But this command is indirectly to you people. Ya ayyuhar rusul kulu min at-tayyibat. You must only eat, O my prophets, you must only eat halal food, and then wa'malu salihah. Then you must do good action. It shows, Allah explained, that food has link and connection with amal, with ibadat. If you eating a haram food, then your ibadat, your worship is not going to be accepted. There's something wrong. You're spreading musalla whole night, sitting on that, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in your stomach, if there is doubtful food, or you are wearing the clothes which is not properly purchased, there is a doubt in that, that you have used the money which was unlawful to buy that cloth, and you are wearing that cloth. So Allah is not going to look at your ibadah. Allah doesn't care about your worship. Because you are missing the point. The condition was, you should only eat halal food and wear halal clothing. Then only your dua will be accepted. So this is the problem with all of us, most of us, that we are complaining that our dua is not getting accepted, but we don't look around what is the reason why my dua is not getting accepted. What wrong I am doing? What sin I am committing? We have to check ourselves. There is a very lengthy hadith in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif, muttafaqun alayh. And this hadith is narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the son of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Very authentic hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the incident of three people, three friends. And in this hadith, we will derive the lesson from it that before we raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any dua, for any need, we must do something good. Like Allah ta'ala said, that you must eat halal food and then you do the good amal. So before we raise our hands, we have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Almighty Allah will be pleased? With our good action, done only and solely and exclusively for the sake of Allah, with total ikhlas and sincerity. Any amal will get accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only If it is done for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there should be no other motive or reason behind it, to please the people or show off or any other reason. No. That amal, that act, that deed only should be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with total ikhlas. So in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are three friends. They were three friends from Banu Israel. They were going somewhere, crossing the jungle, and it so happened the nightfall. So they decided to take rescue in one of the cave. There was no motel in those days, so they can rent a room to stay overnight. So they found one cave on the mountain, and they said, this is the safe place for night. We can just go to sleep inside the cave, and in the morning we will proceed on our way wherever they were going. So they all three went into the cave, and it so happened during the night one big boulder slipped from on top of the mountain and stuck on the mouth of the cave, and it closed the mouth. Now in the morning they woke up, they didn't know what happened at night, and boulder was so heavy that all three were trying to push, they couldn't do it. It's so heavy and they stuck. There is no way come out. Now, what to do? They're gonna die if they stay in that cave like this without food and drink. How long they're gonna survive? So they said and make mashwara amongst themselves, let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the first lesson. That if a calamity befall upon the people collectively, all of them should get together and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collectively. Like flood in Pakistan. So every Muslim, male and female, young and old, should be in the masjid, should be praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be doing something good to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collectively. So these three friends decided, let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but before we make dua, we must say something, that in past in our life we have done something good, any act which we have done only for the pleasure of Allah. Remember, recall that deed and then supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one person stood up and he said, Ya Allah, I had my old parents, and that was my habit, that whenever I used to come back in the evening, I used to milk the goat, and first I used to give the milk to drink to my parents. That was my habit. Then only I used to give to my kids, my wife and my slave. One day it so happened I went little bit further in the jungle to look for the grass and wood, and I came late in the evening. And when I came back in the evening, I milked the cow as usually I used to do. When I came enter into the room of my parents, I found they were sleeping, and they were sleeping hungry. I feel bad. So I did not give the milk to my kids, although they were hungry too. My wife also asked her, I said, no, first my parents, and then only you people. You must wait. And I did not want to disturb their sleep. They were sleeping. So what I did, I hold a bowl of milk, and I stood by their headside. Say, any time during the night, if they will wake up, I'll be there to present the milk to them, because they were hungry. And I waited whole night. My kids were crying. I did not care about them. They slept hungry after crying. I did not give to my slave and my wife. They were all slept hungry. I was just standing next to my parents and waiting for them to wake up. In the morning they woke up only. All night I was standing there. And when they woke up, I presented milk to them, and they drank. They were so happy. Look at my son, so obedient. He did not drink or give milk to his children, and he was waiting for us whole night. He didn't sleep. So they made dua for him. So he said, Ya Allah, if this my amal, if I only done for your sake, for your pleasure, please remove this boulder. So his dua was accepted, because that amal he has done only for the sake of Allah with ikhlas. No one knew up till then. He only exposed their time. But it moved only one third portion. They couldn't come out. Second person stood up. He said, "Ya Allah, I had my cousin, and she was a very beautiful girl, and I used to love her passionately. But she was very pious. She did not give any control over to me. And I was desperate in his love, in her love. Then it so happened that famine came and she became very desperate. She had no money and she was hungry. There was no food in the house. So eventually, because I was rich, so she came to me. I said, 'Look, I am going through a really hard time. Poverty striking me. Please help me out.' And he said, back of mind, I was still loving her and this was my chance. I said, 'I'll give you 120 dinar, and it's a big amount. One gold coin is very expensive. 120 dinar I will give you. If you allow me to fulfill my desire.' She was so desperate, although she was very pious. But in this situation, she gave up. She needed food. She needed money. He said, 'Okay, do whatever you want to do, but I need money.' So I gave her cash, 120 dinar, and I was about to go over her, and I had full control over her. And she was desperate, she couldn't do anything. As I was, you know, going down on her to fulfill my desire, she said to me, 'Oh my brother, ittaqillah, fear Allah, and don't break the seal unlawfully,' meaning we are not married. And Allah is not allowed to commit fornication and zina. It is forbidden. La taqrabu zina. And look, what are you doing? You are taking advantage of my situation." The moment she said, "Ittaqillah," I just stood up. The fear of Allah entered in my heart. And I left her in that situation. Although I loved her so much, I wanted to fulfill my desire with her, and I had all the right, because I paid for it for that night. If I could go and do myself and fulfill my desire, no one could stop me. But only your fear stopped me to do this. And I left her like that. I did not interfere. And that money I gave her, 120 dinar, I did not take back. For your sake, I just left. If I have done that amal, I control my desire, my lust, for your sake, please remove this burden." Allah has accepted his dua, because that act was done sincerely for the sake of Allah. So burden a little more, two-thirds of the portion. Still, there was no enough space to get except from that. Now, third person stood up. He said, "Ya Allah, I had some work on my field, and I hired some people to work on my field. And in the evening, I paid them off, whatever wages was. But one person did not take salary and he went away. I don't know where he was gone, disappeared. So his salary, whatever was one dinar, one dirham, whatever at the end of the day, I kept it and I invested that $1, one dirham in my business. And Allah gave barakat so much in my business, it increased and increased and increased. Now, after a few years, that person came and he said, 'Oh, Abdullah, you remember I work on your field for one day and I did not take my salary, I went away.' He said, 'Yeah, I remember you. Where did you go?' He said, 'I just had to go somewhere. Please give me my $1, one dinar.' He was only asking one dinar because that was his salary. So he said, I told him, whatever, you know, you see in that field, the camels and cow and sheep and goats and these slaves, take all of them, it is yours.' He said, 'Abdullah, don't mock on me. I'm in need of money. Why are you joking with me? I'm sincere. Just give me my dollar and I can go.' He said, 'No, I'm not joking. I'm sincere. I have invested your one dinar in my business on all these years and it is increased. Allah give barakat. All this you see, it is yours. That one dinar is grown up to this extent. All this is yours.' So he took all the camels and cow and slave with him. 'If, O Allah, I have done this work for you, for your sake, please remove this boulder.' Then Allah has accepted his dua and boulder was totally removed and they all three came out from the cave safely. My brothers, there are so many lessons in this hadith for us to learn. Number one, that see in all these three different occasions or scenarios, number one was the respect to the parents. And Allah has commanded in the Holy Quran in several places how we should respect our parents, how we should obey our parents and all this. No time to go in detail. So first person was obedient to his parent, and because of that obedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the obstacle. The second person was, you know, full of lust and desire, and we all have lust and desires. But if you control your lust and desire and only fulfill in the right channel, in right way, in lawful way, there is no problem. And if you're going to do against of the Sharia, you know, following the shaitan and your nafs and desire, then it can be disastrous. So look how that person controlled himself and did not take the advantage of the situation. The third person was a rule of business, trust, amana. That one dinar was his amana. He did not take the salary. So he could have, you know, taken it and say, okay, it is so many years passed, go away, I don't have money for you. And look at the other side. In this all three occasions, these people were vulnerable. They were in the situation, they could not fight or they could not demand anything. Parents were old enough and they were sleeping when he came back. He could have given milk to his children and wife and drank and slept. And next morning he can give it to parents and say, okay, I came a little late and I found you people sleeping. What can I do? My kids were hungry, so I just gave them the milk. Parents couldn't do anything. Right? Same thing with the woman, cousin. If he could have fulfilled his desire by force, she couldn't do anything because she already gave up herself and she took the money for that. So he had all the rights to fulfill his desire. But he never used, execute his power. Rather, he controlled himself. And the third person also, he could have said, okay, one dinar, take it and go away. He never did that. He gave all the, whatever, you know, increase his wealth, and that was his honesty and his amana. So my brothers and sisters, whatever amal we want to do, we should do only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we want that, Allah must accept our dua. So we also have to obey. فَاسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. This is the condition. Allah Ta'ala said, I will accept every dua, everyone's dua. But this is the condition, that they must obey me, istajibu li wal yu'minu bi, and they must only trust and believe and worship to me only. Then only if these two things you find, then Allah is going to accept our dua. So we are going through so many difficulties, problems and hardships. First of all, we have to be sincere and we should only do every work, every deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then raise the hand, then see how our dua will bring the prosperity and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq.